Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let's have a word of prayer before our sermon this morning. Please pray with me. Oh, great God, we come into your house to worship you, a God of grace, mercy, a God of love, great of great faithfulness, God of great just omnipotence. And we're just so grateful for you this morning that we can come into your house and worship you. And in times of uncertainty, you're certainly a God of real certainty. And we've got peace. You're a God of peace. Be with us now. Let us open our ears to hear the word, but most of all, let us open our hearts to receive your real word and your Holy Spirit. Help us reach out maybe this week and share that good news, the great news that Jesus Christ is Lord and that there's a gift of eternal life. It's very simple. We just need to share it. Be with Pastor Cal now as he brings that word. Again, open our ears, open our hearts, so that we can hear and receive what you would have for us to hear this morning. For it's in the wonderful, great name of Jesus I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you all for being here this morning. This is our second service, our newest service. And I want to just thank those that are online with us virtually. Watching virtually, either through YouTube or our Facebook page. It's great to have you all as well. And I never know what God's going to do from one Sunday to the next, but had a lot of comments from the first service, and then we had Bible study in between. And I don't know what God's going to do now, but I'm going to tell you, He'll do anything that He wants to do if you're expecting Him to do something. And you're anticipating Him to do something. I love what young Samuel said when God was calling to him. He said, "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." For those of you that are first time here with us this morning, we've been preaching through the book of Ephesians, verse by verse. Sermon series is Glory in the Church. And if you're part of a family, you're really going to enjoy the next 3 weeks. We're going to be talking about family matters and talking about the family. And we're going to be dealing with the most important relationships in life, the parent-child relationship, but even before that, the husband-wife relationship. And so we're going to be looking at that over these next, I think next week. Sermon title is When a Man Loves a Woman. Y'all remember that song? We're going to be looking at that in Ephesians 5. And this morning we are in Ephesians 5 verses 18 through 21. I want to talk to you about family matters. Now, before we read the scripture, I just want to tell you, I am not an expert on the family. I've been married almost 37 years. I've got 3 children, I've got 3 grandchildren, I've got 4 sisters, I've got 2 mother-in-laws, I am not an expert on the family, but you know who is? That's right. And so we're going to allow Him to teach us this morning. So if you would honor God's Word by standing, that would be great. And Ellen, once again, I think I'll start up there in verse 15, it makes more sense. But we're gonna unpack verses 18 through 21 this morning. The Lord willing. See then, verse 15, Ephesians 5, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Now listen to this, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And may the Lord add His blessing to the reading and the teaching and the preaching of His Word. Please be seated. The key verse, the key point in this entire pericope of Scripture is there in verse 18. Do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. I want you to think for just a minute. What would your family look like if everybody in the family was filled by the Holy Spirit? Would Dad be better? Oh yeah. Would Mama be better? Would the kids? I mean, if everyone in the family was filled by the Spirit of Almighty God and under the control of the Holy Spirit, your home would be a slice of heaven. Really would be. And that's God's desire, that all of our homes, everybody in the home would be filled by the Spirit of Almighty God. Is there an example of a family like that in the Scripture? Yes, there is. I don't have time to completely unpack that for you, but in Luke chapter 1, the Bible tells us in verse 67 that Zacharias was a Spirit-filled husband and father. And verse 41 of Luke chapter 1 tells us that Elizabeth was a Spirit-filled wife and mother. And yes, Luke chapter 1 and verse 80 tells us that their son, John the Baptist, remember him? He was filled by the Spirit of Almighty God. And so that's God's ideal for every family, no matter what your family looks like. And so let's take a look at what I'm calling today, Family Matters. You do know family matters, right? Now, remember, y'all, preaching is a dialogue. It is not a monologue. My preaching professor just poured that into me. It's a dialogue whether you're saying anything or not, right? Okay. So the first thing we see happening here is Paul begins to make a powerful contrast between being filled with alcohol and filled with the Spirit. Powerful contrast. And what I want you to see here, this is not going to be a sermon on alcohol, okay? But what I do want you to see are there's some similarities and there's some differences in being filled with alcohol and being filled with the Spirit. Are y'all tracking with me? All right, lean in and listen now. Now, there's some similarities, first of all, between the filling of with alcohol and the filling with the Spirit. And the first one of those is you have to choose to either be filled with one or the other. People don't get drunk on accident. You got to make that choice, right? And you got to choose to be filled by the Spirit. Holy Spirit's not going to force Himself on anyone. He's a gentleman. You have to choose to be filled by the Spirit. So a choice has to be made with this contrast that he's talking about here with alcohol and the Spirit. And then these two also change behaviors. How many of you know that? Someone who's filled by alcohol, someone who is under the influence of alcohol, it changes their behavior. I got a buddy that I grew up with. We're still good friends. And he was loyal. He was nice. He was kind of shy and reserved. I could count on him, and he was a friend, a good friend. But when that rascal got to drinking, whoo, he'd get loud and boisterous, and he always wanted to fight. He wanted to fight everybody. He had little man's disease, and so he wanted to whip everybody. Only problem was he couldn't whip his way out of a wet paper bag, right? And so that's the alcohol changes. Someone who's filled with that changes their behavior. And then same thing with the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Spirit changes our behavior. You remember Simon Peter when Jesus was arraigned and arrested and being interrogated? You remember that? Well, you weren't there, but you've read about it. And you remember what Simon Peter was doing while Jesus was being interrogated up at the house? He was warming himself by the enemy fire. But when Simon Peter was filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit, he courageously preached to thousands down in the streets of Jerusalem. The filling of the Spirit and the filling of alcohol changes our behavior. Now, there's one other similarity I want to just touch on. Both of these fillings are temporary. They're temporary. In order to be drunk with wine, to be filled with wine, you've got to do it again and again and again. It doesn't last forever, right? And same way with the Spirit. Now, I want to clear something up here. Nowhere in the Bible are we commanded to be baptized in the Spirit. I love my Pentecostal brothers and sisters, but I believe you're just a tad off base here. Look at 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13 says, "For by one Spirit," capital S, "we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." And so this baptism of the Holy Spirit takes place at salvation. It's a once and for all experience. But there are many, many times that, so I'll talk more about this in a minute, that you need to be filled by the Spirit. That's a temporary thing. It needs to happen over and over and over again. And then, so those are the similarities. You got to choose. Changes by both of them change our behavior, and both of those are temporary. But there's some major differences in someone who's filled with alcohol and someone who's filled with the Spirit. And here they are. When a person is drunk with alcohol, like he's talking here in verse 18. They're out of control because they're under the influence of alcohol. Can I get a witness? Some of us could give personal witness, right? I mean, you're out of control when you're under the influence of alcohol. Alcohol is a depressant. It affects our motor skills, our judgment. It affects our inhibitions, our emotions. It affects a lot of things. And so when you find yourself under the influence of alcohol, you find yourself often being out of control. Here's the difference with the filling of the Holy Spirit. When you are under the influence, the filling of the Holy Spirit, you've got self-control. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit, see? And so when you're under the influence of the Spirit, you are under control. One is a depressant, the other is a stimulant. One makes you lose control, the other puts you in control. Well, what does all this have to do with the family? Well, I'm glad you asked. I want you just to think, if your family will yield to the control of the Holy Spirit, to the filling of the Holy Spirit, guess what? Your family's going to function like God wants it to. Let me say it again. I want to make sure y'all get this. If every member in the family is filled under the influence, under the control of the Holy Spirit, your family is going to be right smack dab in the middle of God's will because that's His desire. Hallelujah. Now, you say, "Well, Brother Cal, you don't know my family. We're dysfunctional." Oh, that's surprising. There's tons of dysfunctional families, especially even in the church. And the reason a family is dysfunctional is because they're not filled by the Spirit of Almighty God. Now, can I just tell you, you know, in order for you to get that somewhere else, you'd have had to go to a seminar and pay over $500 to attend. But that's the reason your family's dysfunctional. It's because you're not filled by the Spirit of Almighty God. So, that's the powerful contrast he's making here, and it leads to a positive command. Look at the latter part of verse 18. You're going to like this. "But be filled with the Holy Spirit." That is a present tense, continuous, imperative verb. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. You see, the baptism of the Spirit is not a command. That's something the Holy Spirit does at the moment of salvation. But the filling of the Holy Spirit is a command, and we're to be filled on a regular basis. Now, having said that, let me say this. Being filled by the Spirit does not mean you get more of the Holy Spirit. Remember? You got all the Holy Spirit you're going to get when you got saved. You were baptized into this marvelous, mystical body of Christ. You're the bride of Christ. Tell somebody today, boy, you sure do look good. You've been baptized into the body of Christ. But the filling is the verb here has continual action to it. In other words, and it's imperative, it's a command. And so we're to be filled on a daily basis. And so I want to say it again. The filling of the Holy Spirit is not you getting more of the Spirit, it's the Spirit getting more of you. Does he have access to every area in your life? Your financial life? Your work life? Your home life? Your social life? Your relational life? You see, the Holy Spirit wants access to all that. And that's when the filling of the Holy Spirit, and I'll talk more about that in just a second, but the Holy Spirit already resides in our heart. He's there in your spirit. Deep down in your spirit, He lives there. And He just simply wants access to all the rooms in your heart. Look at somebody and say, that's good. Now, what difference would that make with your dad? With your mom, with your wife, with your spouse, with your good friend, with your grandparents, with your significant other, whatever that means. What difference would it make? Huh? You say, well, Pastor Cal, you don't know my family. I'm the only Christian in my family. Well, guess what? You desperately need to be filled by the Spirit of God so that He'll give you the power to live for Jesus in your lost home. You definitely need to be filled by the Spirit of God. And so there's so much more I could say right here, but let me just say this. The word filled means to be under the control of. The word filled doesn't mean like you're pouring water into a pitcher. It means to be under the control of. That's what this Greek word means. And so our mind, our speech, our emotions, our will, our desires are all under the control of the Holy Spirit when we're filled by the Spirit. Are y'all tracking with me? Am I communicating? Okay. Now, how do we do that? It's got to be some mystical, marvelous, some type of supernatural. Guess what? No. It happens every morning. You all do get into this book every morning, don't you? You need to get into the Word before you leave the house. If you don't get into the Word and get in prayer before you leave the house, you'll have kicked the cat at least half a dozen times. I mean, you have got to get into the Word of God. And it is when we get into the Word of God and the Spirit of God begins to move in our heart and we begin to pray to God, we say, Lord, Your Word tells me it commands me to be filled by Your Spirit. I need to be under Your control today. God, take my mouth, take my mind, take my attitudes, take my prejudices, take my all that stuff, my will, my wishes, my desires. Take control. I yield. Surrender is not a good American word, but it's a biblical word. We surrender to the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's the positive command here. By the way, there's no supernatural manifestations, no speaking in tongues, no da 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 da. The only characteristics of somebody who's filled by the Spirit, well, y'all look at them with me, there's three of them. Verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That sounds like joy. 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 I'm not going to smile. If you're filled by the Spirit of God, you're filled with joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? And then there's gratitude is another characteristic. There in verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Gratitude. Going to talk more about that in just a minute. But if you're filled by the... And then there's one other characteristic there in verse 21, submission. Humility. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. And so there they are, joy, thanksgiving, and submission. Not a word about supernatural stuff, gifts of healings and speaking in tongues, interpreting, none of that. Now here's where I differ with a lot of Southern Baptist pastors. I believe those things are still real, but they're spiritual gifts. Okay? Doesn't have anything to do with the filling of the Spirit. But God does gift people in different ways. That's another sermon for another time. So that's the command. Paul's moved from this powerful contrast to the very positive command about be filled each and every day. Today's a good day to be filled by the Spirit. Why wouldn't you want to be filled on the Lord's day in the Lord's house with the Lord's people? Sounds good to me. All right, then we move into some what I would call personal consequences of being filled by the Spirit. This is what I really wanted to get to, and I want to just kind of unpack 19, 20, and 21, and we'll be done. Okay? There are several consequences of being filled by God's Spirit. And the first one there is speaking to one another. Now, I think that's significant. You know, the Bible is replete in the New Testament and the old about speaking to one another how? In love. Speaking to one another in love. You see, and I think it's significant here. Instead of speaking to one another, we often scream at one another. And if you're screaming at someone, there's no way you're under the influence and under the control of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit controls us and helps us to simply speak to one another. It got this quiet in the first service too when I started talking about screaming versus speaking. So, this was made real clear to me yesterday. I had pulled up over here at Liberty Park to get a walk in. They've got a great place to walk over there, and you can walk anywhere between 4.5 miles to 600 yards, whatever you want to do. And so I whipped into this parking spot, and I wasn't really paying attention to what I was doing because I was running out of time. And I start getting out of the truck. There's a big, I drive a toy truck. This old boy that was sitting beside me drives a real truck. He's in a big, this big, huge truck. And he rolls his window down, and he said, "Hey, did you know you've taken up 2 parking spaces?" Now, those of you that know me know that I can get really quick and with my tongue. How many of your tongue gets you in trouble? Well, I wanted to just tell that guy, who cares? You know? But the Holy Spirit reined me back in. And I said, "No, you know, I didn't realize that. I pulled in here too quick," and I looked down. I said, "You're right." And then you know what he said after I said, "You're right"? He said, "Well, they're liable to give you a ticket in this place if you take up 2 spots instead of 1. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but he was talking from experience, it sounded like. And so I got back in my truck and backed up and pulled in and just took up 1 spot. And then I got out of the truck again. He said, "Man, you have a great day. I'll see you later." Speaking to one another. And then I like this second consequence, Brother Andrew. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Down here in Montgomery County, we say singing. Oh, come on, y'all. We're going to have a singing tonight, right? Yeah. Singing with what? And making melody in your heart to the Lord. Singing is another consequence of being filled by the Spirit. The word melody means to strum on an instrument. What you heard Brother Andrew doing this morning. When you're filled by the Holy Spirit, you have the beautiful melody of the Spirit of God deep down in you. Everywhere you go. Billy Walker did such a great job a few weeks ago when we were talking about Philippians 16. You remember where Paul and Silas were? Well, I'll remind you that they had been beaten, probably with either rods or maybe they'd even been scourged. We don't know. But he winds up in this Philippian jail. And Paul and Silas both had stocks around their feet. They were chained. And at midnight, now they're beaten, they're bruised, they're probably bleeding. And at midnight, they're in chains. And at midnight, you know what they're doing? Singing. They're singing. Why? Because they're filled by the Spirit of Almighty. You see, no one can take your joy from you. By the way, joy is also one of the fruits of the Spirit. Whew, this is good stuff. And so, I was just kind of checking y'all out this morning, seeing whether y'all were singing or not. Now, there was, of course, y'all would never do this. But I was looking at somebody in the early service, and she looked like she was mad as a hornet. She never opened her mouth and sang a word. And then she hung her head when we got to this verse, you know. Listen, if you don't like to sing now, what are you going to do for all of eternity? We're going to sing, the Bible says, a new song. That sounds contemporary. We're going to sing a new song when we get to heaven. Amen? And so singing is one of the personal consequences of being filled by the Spirit of Almighty God. And boy, so think about it. Now, authentic music has what? Rhythm, melody, and what else? Harmony. And if your family is filled by the Spirit of Almighty God, your family is going to have rhythm, melody, and harmony. Everybody's going to flock to your family because they want some of what you got. Isn't that good stuff? Mercy. And then look at verse 20. Giving thanks sometimes. Giving thanks always for the things you like. No, for all things. Ooh. To God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, thanksgiving or gratitude, that's just another consequence of being filled by the Lord. I was so blessed. It was about this time last year when we did some of those cardboard testimonies. And we got people, and man, I was so blessed to see what our people were grateful for and thankful for. We had folks who had been set free from drugs and alcohol. I didn't even know. Well, we had folks that had gotten broken to pieces in a bad marriage, and God had restored them. And we had folks that gave all kinds of testimonies. We're nearing Thanksgiving. Let me encourage you to get filled by God's Spirit and then just start making a list of the things you're grateful for in your spouse, in your children, in your boss, things that you're thankful for in your community. Just start making a list. What does the Bible say? Count your blessings. Just start counting them. Because gratitude is one of those things that are the consequence of being filled by the Spirit of Almighty God. And by the way, quit trying to change everybody. You can't change anybody. The only person you can change is, yeah, gratitude, thanksgiving. Here's the last one. Come on, ladies, let's all say it together. Submitting. This is the one, you know, the guys take. And use it. We're going to talk about, I'm preaching next Sunday morning on when a man loves a woman. Okay? And we're going to talk about this submission thing. But a lot of guys will get out from under the control and the influence of the Holy Spirit and think, well, she's got to submit to me. I'm just going to treat her like a dish rag. No. Look what this verse says. We're talking about family now. Everybody in the family. What does it say? Submitting to one another. One another in the fear of God. The word means to rank under. To rank under. Every family member should submit to one another from time to time. Can you imagine everybody at work just doing whatever they want to do? Can you imagine that, Andrew? Everybody at Stryker up at Vanderbilt tomorrow morning, they just all start doing whatever they want to do. How long would that work? Can you imagine a battalion out here at Fort Campbell? And everybody in that battalion just starts doing whatever they want to do. Can you imagine that? It'd be a mess. Can you imagine everybody on the offense gets in the huddle and starts calling the plays except the quarterback? I think that's what happened to Tennessee yesterday. What we're talking about here is teamwork. Submitting to one another. There are times when, you know, we're talking about humility here. When we submit to our wives submit to us. We even submit at times to our kids, to our children, and children to parents. Submitting to one another. And the example of that comes in the fear of the Lord. And I want to tell you, when the employee submits to the employer and the private submits to the sergeant and the offense submits to the quarterback, you've got great harmony, don't you? When we function the way we're supposed to function in the family, under the influence and the control of the Holy Spirit, there is great rhythm, melody, and harmony in the family. Aren't you thankful for the Word of God today? If we just do what the Scripture says do, wouldn't we all be better off? And so here's where I'm going to land this plane today. I think most of you in here, I don't know because I haven't talked to all of you, but I think most of you in here are probably saved and you've been baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. But you're trying to live life in your strength. Well, let me tell you, that's a recipe for disaster. No Christian can live the Christian life without submitting and yielding and surrendering to the influence and the power of the Holy Spirit. You just need today to ask God to forgive you and begin a life, a daily life of surrendering to the Holy Spirit. Lord, take my speech. I'm so thankful God had control of my tongue yesterday. Y'all might have read about me in the paper. That big old boy might have got out and whipped me like molasses. But man, that God, would you take control of my tongue today? My mind? And God, most please, search every area of my heart because whatever comes up in the bucket, it's what's down in the well. God, search, just I turn control of my wishes, my dreams, my hopes, my desires, my wants to you. Holy Spirit, have your way in my life. That's what we need to do here this morning, if you haven't done so already. That's the first thing I did this morning in my study at 5:30. That's what I did. Am I perfect? No, But the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. Hallelujah. And by the way, if you have never been saved, if you've never been baptized by the Spirit, today could be your coronation day. Because if you'd be willing to say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I know that my sins have separated me from you, but I believe your Son paid the price for every sin I've ever committed. I believe that with all my heart. And I believe, Father, your Son is alive right there beside your right hand. And so today, I place all of my trust, all of my faith, everything that I am and everything that your Son is. And I ask you to forgive me of my sin. And I receive you today as my Lord and Savior. If you do that today, God will baptize you. And you'll become a part of the body of Christ. You'll be a believer. And then, on a regular basis, you can get filled by the Spirit of Almighty God to live in a way that's pleasing and obedient to God. Would you just pray with me right now? Just bow your head wherever you are. And let's just pray. Let's just get real with God. Let's just be real with God. You just pray. Just whatever God's wanting you to do this morning, allow Him to speak to you. If it's salvation, by all means, you just pray and do what I've expressed to you just a minute ago and receive Christ as your only means of being made right with God. And number two, if you have done that, why don't you get under God's desire for your family? Right now, do that. And submit and surrender to the Holy Spirit that already lives within you. Father, give my brothers and my sisters the wisdom and the courage to do what you're telling them to do. Give the one or two or ten that are here this morning that don't know you as Lord and Savior the wisdom and the conviction and the strength to receive Christ. Oh God, I don't know exactly what you're doing right now, but I believe that when your word is taught and when we're confronted with it, there's a response that has to be made. So I pray for folks all around the building that we'd respond in obedience. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.